And it is John Gibbons from the Anfield Wrap with one more transfer show, and then we get to forget about it for a month or so at least. But I did want to do a bit of a roundup on, you know, that incredible Isak story and what had happened over the last, well, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, however long you want to call it. But certainly the last week or so was quite something. And so to help us out with that is an old friend now, Mark Douglas from the iPaper. And Mark, it's funny to think we got you on Thursday and we still knew so little. Between Thursday and Monday, Newcastle signed two players, one of whom felt completely out of nowhere to me, one of whom they tracked for a long time but looked like they moved away from. And then Isak obviously finally gets his move to Liverpool. And yeah, we were young, naive men on Thursday morning.
Yeah, it was. I think, weirdly, like, it's worth pointing out, I think the whole way through, there's definitely been dips in the times when I felt the deal might happen, the deal might not happen for Isak. And I think kind of last week was a strange one because it felt like all of the signs were pointing towards the deal happening. But until Newcastle got players in, there was no way that it could happen. And obviously, just, I think, before, it was one of the rare occasions where Newcastle actually managed to do something and keep it under wraps. And I think that was kind of like what happened on Sunday. There was this kind of eerie eye of the storm feel about it. And nobody at the Newcastle end, and indeed at the Liverpool end, were talking about the deal happening on Sunday. It was very quiet until right at the, you know, very late in the day, when obviously all hell broke loose kind of around 11, 12 o'clock. But you could tell when things were going quiet, it was actually, there was more chance of the deal happening. But yeah, I think in the end, we looked at it on Thursday and I think we were all kind of quite cautious about it. And I said, look, they are going to need to get a striker in, but there were a few dominoes that kind of needed to fall. And that was the first one of them, really. I think as soon as, actually looking back now, the Monday night, just before the Liverpool game, when Jamie Rubin and a delegation from PIF went to see Alexander Isak at his home, and I think made one last kind of fairly desperate attempt, I think, to get him to come back on board and almost wave this idea of a release clause in front of him and said, look, give us one more year or even give us 4 more months because we aren't able to get the striker in. Yeah. I think the tone of his refusal there, really the die was cast at that point. And I felt like when that news of that emerged, there was no reason for Isak. I think at that point, he'd done the damage. Why would he go back on it at that point? It was almost like, I think he wanted the Liverpool move so much at that point, he was never going to turn back.